Okay, well, we say welcome to everyone here. I did appreciate Marvin's thoughts here this morning. It was inspiring. And it triggered a memory. So he talked about Alzheimer's, and that is something that has been in my wife's family, her grandfather, and I remember a story of one. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we're sitting out on their patio. It's a beautiful day, sitting in a circle. And as Paul B. Zimmerman did, he was sitting there napping, and the conversation's going on. And then he kind of woke up, and I remember seeing this. He kind of looked around the circle, looked at who all was sitting there, and then he was sitting beside his son, Paul Jr., my father-in-law, and he leaned over and he looked my direction and pointed at me, and he said, "Thyself." Like, who is that? And then my father-in-law said, "That's Roger Weaver. He's married to our oldest daughter, Julie, and he's here." And he kind of goes, "Huh. Isel all the basa siduhat kenna." He's like, "Is that all the better that she could do?" So I think I was glad I was married already, because I obviously wasn't rating real high. And I really, my wife is the love of my life, and I didn't want to get chased off. So anyway, we are here today, Daryl and I, and we're going to be discussing this topic on frauds and scams. And it's not this warm and fuzzy topic, really. It can actually be a little scary, possibly. But we firmly believe that one of our best defenses is simply being aware, just to be aware. And our goal and our attempt here this morning is going to be to try and help build awareness so that in the event of, if you're ever confronted with one of these situations, you have some tools in your toolbox to know what to do. So I thought it was really fitting, the Psalm 71, and as that was read through, there was two verses, and there could have been more that kind of stood out. The first one was verse 13, in where it says, "Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with the reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt." There are people out there who are they're ruthless. They have zero regard for their victims, and they see people as someone to take advantage of. But then verse 16 said, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine alone." And so in many of these situations, there actually can be an opportunity for us to shine the light of Jesus to these people. And you may hear bits about that as we go through our session. So we have this in three different segments here. I'm going to be doing a little bit of an introduction on who fraud aware is, and then I'm going to be touching on the illegal money pool part, and then that's going to be followed by Daryl talking about fraudsters and their tactics and some of the things that we're seeing happening in our day. But I'd like to start here with a question. If we say stop, drop, and roll, does that spark a memory? Like, have you ever heard that before? Stop, drop, and roll. There's a lot of hands going up. So that is something that I remember back in school already. Once a year, the fire company would come out, and they would teach students what to do in the event of some type of a fire. And they would say that if you ever find yourself on fire, don't go running. You stop, you drop, and you roll. I'm going to come back to this later with some thoughts around that. So fraud aware and who fraud aware is. So fraud aware was formed in 2021 by a group of concerned conservative Amish and Mennonite brethren. the Fraud Aware board members, all of us, have in some way, shape, or form observed firsthand the consequences of failed illegal money pools and also some other frauds. When we talk about a failed illegal money pool, do you have an idea what we might be talking about? Yeah, failed illegal money pool. So there have been these money pools where there's an operator, so someone will take money that for a person who wants to invest, and they'll loan it to another person who needs money to grow their business or buy their house. And they've started these money pools, and there's been too many of those that have been illegal, and they have failed and caused a lot of damage. And we'll be touching some more on that here shortly. So the Fraud Aware leadership, it's a six-member operating board based here in Pennsylvania. There's more than 23 advisory board members from various different states, such as Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, New York, and Virginia. And the Fraud Aware operating board is accountable to and reports to the advisory board. So the advisory board has the authority to appoint or remove any of the operating board members if they would see that as necessary. And they also just keep an eye on the activities, what's going on, making sure that it's functioning as it's supposed to. So the operating board is responsible and accountable to the advisory board. Now, so we do have expansion plans. So we're pleased to announce that there is a Fraud Aware Indiana committee. So there's a local committee in Indiana. They represent like five different church groups amongst the Amish and Mennonite communities there. And they are there as a representation of Fraud Aware and bringing that message to their local communities. That's doing a lot like we have done here in our areas. And so we're grateful for that. And we also are in the early stages of getting a Fraud Aware Ohio up and running. Very same thing, where there's men there from various different Mennonite and Amish churches, and they will be doing the same thing, taking this Fraud Aware message to their local communities. And that's the goal. We hope to keep expanding into different states, different conservative Anabaptist communities as a means to take this message of awareness to our many different groups. So Fraud Aware's primary responsibility is if we can help our communities get to a place where they can identify fraud, that means that they've been educated, and if they can identify and are educated, we hope that they will talk to their friends and families and communities, and all of that in the name of prevention. So we want folks to be able to identify, we want to educate in the name of prevention so that our folks can keep these kinds of situations from happening. So what all do we do? Well, one of the things is we print and distribute lots of different literature. So there's brochures and all kinds of different literature. And there's a literature table out in the foyer, so feel free to help yourself. And by the way, there's books on there. You're welcome to take books. Those are, there's a donor that's behind that that's going to cover the cost of those. So they're free for the taking. So help yourself. Take those books and read them, give them to your families, and that kind of thing. So speaking about books, we currently have two that Fraud Aware printed. It's The Village That Burned $3 Million. That target is teaching basically on the illegal money pool situations, kind of tells the story of how that can unravel. And then the more recent one is The Widow Who Got Scammed. And that's more related to like some of the phone or email or text or whatever scams that are so prevalent here today. We're in the process of another book that'll be released here later this year, and that one's going to be comprised of various different, we'll say, like short stories. The title is probably going to be like "I Almost Fell for It." So, stories of where people were confronted with a potential scam, but thankfully, through whatever steps, they were able to step away from it and not be scammed. But it helps, we believe it'll help just kind of bring the realization of the many different ways that these fraudsters and scammers will try and victimize people. Another thing that we do is what we're doing here this morning is do presentations. We'll go to various different groups, church groups, whatever, and do these presentations for their congregations. We have what we call the Fraud Aware Listen Library. So there's a number that you can call, and currently there's 8 different stories on there that you can listen to, stories of various different types of scamming and fraudulent situations. And I'll just say that this is something that we had kind of underestimated, I believe, the way it's going to get used. So there's, in the last 10 months, there's been over 7,390 calls that were placed into the Listen Library, and over 3,820 hours of listen time. So we're delighted that people are using that. They call in, they hear the stories, and we hope it's a means of helping educate them about these things that are going on. So I'd like to just share now who Fraud Aware is not. So we're not investment advisors. So we don't tell folks where they should invest their money. And we do get a lot of those types of questions. Well, where should I? Where is a safe place? And those kinds of things. We're not investment advisors. We're not authorized or legal even to do that. Neither are we an investment organization, so we can't take your money and invest it. We're not legal counsel. We can't serve on your behalf as like an attorney or legal counsel. We can't represent you to the Department of State or the IRS or anything like that. We're not tax advisors, so we don't help with tax planning. And so in essence, we're not an authority in any way, shape, or form. Neither are we what we call an ambulance. We don't come in when there's a devastating situation, maybe a failed loan pool or whatever, where there's people who are destitute. Like Fraud Aware does not, we're not able to come in and help in a situation like that. Most times when there is that type of a situation, that person's local church group will maybe establish a committee or whatever, and they'll walk with someone that's been devastated through these situations. And so we recommend that people work with certified public accountants to do their tax work and preparation, and if there's legal things that need to be taken care of, to get connected with a reputable attorney that can help with that. So again, our responsibility is to help people identify, so teach in the way that they can identify, that they're educated, and all of that for the sake of prevention. You know, in a lot of these situations, if you can just stop and kind of disconnect yourself from whatever it is and rethink it, that'll help many, many times with being able to sidestep one of these fraudulent activities. So back to the stop, drop, and roll. Does it work? Yes, it actually works. I think it was probably 35 years ago, I witnessed where through a situation, a person, they caught on fire. They were at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I have this kind of vivid picture in my mind of a person like totally engulfed quickly. And this person turned and they were starting to run. And in an instant, they stopped, they dropped, and they rolled. And it extinguished the fire very quickly. I remember his jacket was melted, like it was burned. He did have facial burns and things like that. However, his quick action prevented that from being a whole lot worse. When we think about that, stop, drop, and roll, there's another similar concept that we'd like to introduce here this morning, and that is to stop, disconnect, and reconsider or rethink. Seek counsel, talk to someone. So stop. If you get that email or you get that call or you get that whatever it is, if there's an offer to go and invest in some really amazing investment and it sounds really, we advise and encourage just stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Stop, disconnect, and go talk to someone. Seek advice, someone that you trust and you know will give you a good, honest feedback. So just a little more on that. So when should we stop? Well, you might get a call that you won big. All you have to do is whatever, okay? Or maybe there's an investment opportunity that someone says, hey, you need to go and invest your money in this. It's amazing returns. Or, yeah, above average, like way above average sometimes. Or just that quick win, amazing opportunity, anything like that. We say, just stop. Just stop. And disconnect. Disconnect from the emotion. There's in some of these tactics, there's a lot of fear, or there's the urgency. You got to move, and you got to move quick. You got to do it now. Sometimes there's panic. Maybe it's a family member that's in trouble, and only you can help them out by sending money or surprise or intimidation. So with those, just stop and disconnect. Hang up the phone. Just walk away. Power down your computer, your laptop, your device, your phone, whatever it is. Just disconnect. Get away from whatever that situation is. So stop, disconnect, and then reconsider. Is it too good to be true? Seek counsel. Like, go talk to someone and get advice. Someone that you trust. Maybe it's your accountant. Maybe it's your banker. Maybe it's your father-in-law. Maybe it's just someone that you have confidence in and you can go to and think out loud to. Go and seek counsel. And just give it some time. You don't have to act immediately. So stop, disconnect, and reconsider. All right, now I'd like to go into some items on illegal money pools. And so an illegal money pool, there was an attorney who was asked to come and speak at an event regarding these illegal money pool situations. So he was an attorney that would have helped set up like legal money pools, if I understood correctly. And there was these failed money pool situations, and he was invited to come in and address that, speak to that to an audience of conservative Anabaptists. And he said, like, he declined. He said, I'm not going to do it. He's like, the message to your people needs to come from within. They need to hear it from you. Like, you folks need to teach your people about these situations. And he went on to say that these illegal money pool operators, it's not that they're doing this in innocence. He said they know better. They know. These operators know that they are operating these illegal loan pools illegally. So he said, you have to teach and hold accountable from within your own circles. He's like, it's not going to help for me to come and do that. And I think he went as far as to say it's a pandemic in your circles, which is really kind of sad to hear that from an outside attorney saying, you folks have a problem and you need to do something about that. So in Fraud Aware and in our work, we firmly believe that there's been well over $300 million lost in the last 20 years of failed illegal money pools and investments. We can easily identify that. That doesn't count for the tens of thousands of man hours that went into those situations. So there's been committees, there's ministry, there's government agencies, people working at trying to get this thing cleaned up. So $300 million, tens of thousands of man hours, there's a lot that has gone into these unfortunate situations. And if you just think about that money for a bit, like all the good that could do in our Anabaptist circles, it's sad. It really is. So illegal money pools and these other high-risk investments, why are we so attracted to investing in those kinds of so-called opportunities? And I'd like to just, we want to speak to that a bit. When we listen to the stories of people that have been caught up in those situations, they've been devastated by it, they've lost lots of money. You hear the things like, well, we thought this or we thought that. And I'd like to take a look at what some of those things are. And we want to realize that for most of these, if they would just have stopped and disconnected and reconsidered, it probably would have made a big difference. So why would we? Well, one of them is what we call the affinity fraud factor. So affinity, I remember as I got involved in a failed illegal money pool, this word affinity came up a lot, and I actually went to the dictionary to make sure I know what we're talking about, like affinity fraud. And in this context, it means like a, so it's like a kinship or a similarity or maybe a uniformity or a connection. So in our church circles, the perpetrator may be the person we're sitting beside. He's one of us. They're from within, and there's this affinity. There's a lot of trust. There's a lot of questions we don't ask simply because they're one of us. So it's the affinity fraud factor. They're right there with us. So that's one of the reasons that people will just invest. They won't really think twice. They do it. Like, why wouldn't I invest my money through a conservative Anabaptist organization and not be a part of that? Affinity fraud factor. Another one is that oftentimes these offers or potential opportunities will offer higher than average interest rates. And it becomes we're pretty frugal people. Then you start doing the math and you say, wow, if I would invest this here and get this amount of interest versus what I'm getting now, that would make a difference. And, there's kind of the picture there of the fella that, he just jumped. He heard about an opera, and actually that's a picture of Daryl when he was much younger, I think. He went for it, but some people are just, they're risk takers. Like we don't really, it sounds great. We know the people and we just, boom, we'll jump, we'll go for it. There's another thing that we've seen in these situations, and that was a move of desperation. So there may have been people who they were in a difficult financial situation, and they may have had, I don't know, I'll just say, maybe they did have this $10,000 emergency fund, and they're trying to work forward, and they hear about this higher interest. And to them, it ends up being kind of a desperate move where they do the math and they say, wow, that would really help me out. And so they write the check and they invest in these things. And then there's some of us that are just careless. Like we don't really think twice. I know the person, and so I just write the check. The encouragement is we need to just stop and disconnect and reconsider. So why would we? Well, another reason is it's really easy. Like it's very, very simple. If you think about some of the maybe the investments that you have done, like the all the paperwork, all the signatures, this is really easy. You just write a check and you give it to someone and it gets invested. There's probably not much more than a verbal agreement. If there is any documentation, it may be very little. It's just pretty simple. You write the check and you move on. So this is a snip from a local paper that we had, and there was this little ad in kind of like a classified section, and it said, real estate lending opportunity, will pay 14% interest, 12-month term preferred, but not limited to, and a phone number. So you think about that. You're reading through. You might have some money. You were trying to decide where the best place would be to invest it. And here's someone offering 14%. 14%. That sounds pretty good. There is this question, is there really something like a free lunch? Or should we here maybe just stop and disconnect and reconsider? 14% interest. And that this was just not real long ago that this ad was run in the paper. We'll come back to that thought a little later. So this can beg the question of, how do we know if it's a legal and above board loan pool? Because I'll say there are many well-run legal loan pools in our conservative Anabaptist circles. I had been to a meeting where loan pool board members came together, and it's a day where they talk about best practices, and it was very educational. That was a room full of people. I think there was 300 or more folks there. So there was people from New York, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Wisconsin, Virginia, like all over. So in the Amish communities, in our Mennonite communities, legal, well-run loan pools, there it's a good thing. It's done well, it's done right. So how do we know? Like, how can we best analyze and figure out what it is that we should or shouldn't invest in? Now, I want to be clear that every investment, it doesn't matter who or where, there is risk. Investment always brings an element of risk. So there is no opportunity where there is no risk, and we just need to be aware of that. So we point to, and we have some literature on this, so when thinking about a loan pool, an investment opportunity, there's some simple red flags and green flags. So the red flags are, it's not legal, like they're not registered with the Securities Exchange. They're not registered with the right departments in their state. And that's something that we recommend. If you're going to be investing somewhere, find out, like check it out. Are they a legal entity? Another one is that there's no financial statements. Like they don't produce a consistent record of their finances. It's more... we call it back of the envelope math. If you ask for it, there's probably reasons why you won't get it, and those kinds of things. Another big red flag is it's a one-man show. It's a one-person operator. And another is that they offer these above-market rates, like really attractive returns on the investment. And we say, just stop. Like disconnect and reconsider. Think it through. Get advice. Talk to someone. Find out, are they legal or are they not? And that's what our green flags are. They're pretty much the reverse of what we just said are red flags. Is it a legal entity? Do they have audited financial statements? Is there an oversight board? Are they accountable to someone other than just themselves? And is the return like consistent with what we would think of as average returns for our time? Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. So I'd like to just come back to this ad that we saw, and just, so is there any red flags here? Like, do we see any red flags with this return of 14%? You know, it sounds like it's for some type of a real estate opportunity, real estate lending opportunity. And I'll just say that that's not bad. I know of folks that do that. They buy homes, they fix them up, they resell them, or maybe they just build new homes and sell them. So real estate and real estate lending is not that in and of itself. There's really nothing wrong with that. But why would someone pay 14% when they could go to the bank and probably get it for 7%? Why would someone be willing to offer double the interest for this loan? Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Maybe it's because the bank's not willing to give him money. I don't know. But why wouldn't the bank be willing to give them money? Well, I'm not sure, but usually it means that they have no confidence that this is going to be a good investment on their behalf. 14% when somebody could have been getting borrowing money for 7%. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. There's a couple of tests that we encourage people to do. You know the old saying that if it looks like a duck, and it swims like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Or if it looks like fraud, if it swims like fraud, and if it quacks like fraud, there's a chance that it really is fraud. Do the duck test. Think it through. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Think about the red flags and the green flags. When you're evaluating an investment opportunity, there's some things that we suggest that you like take note of in the organization that you're planning to invest in and through. First of all, do they have full disclosure? Like, are they willing to report? Is there full disclosure, kind of open book mentality? Is there oversight? That there's not a one-man operator, but there is like an oversight board that they're accountable to? And do they have a good solid reputation? Have they earned a good solid reputation? And check these boxes. If so, there's a pretty good chance that it is a trustworthy organization. But if there isn't, like, you never quite think, you don't believe that you quite got all the information. There's just something, you just can't get your hands on it quite. You know, kind of like trying to hold a fish. You just feel a little uncomfortable. It just doesn't quite come through. Just stop, disconnect, and reconsider. When you think about the operator or the leadership team or the folks that are running that organization, are they approachable? Like, is it someone that you can talk to? Are they open to that? Can you have a good conversation with them? Do they have a teachable mentality or mindset? Like, are they open to hearing and answering and responding to your questions? And do they admit if they don't know and they'll go and find out? Like, are they open and teachable? So are they humble in that fashion? There is safety in counsel. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. You know, working on a committee of a failed loan pool, the hardship stories are hard. They really are. There would be the elderly, widow, widower, who maybe they worked and were frugal people all their life. And now they're in the sunset years of their time. They're beyond a place of maybe being able to do gainful or profitable work. They invest in one of these things and they lose everything they have. That has happened more times than we care to think about. There's the saving for a house. There was a story of a young middle-aged family who they were moving from one part of the U.S. to another part. They weren't exactly sure where they were going to settle, so they sold their house. They invested that money in an investment pool, an illegal investment pool, until they figure out exactly where they want to buy and settle. But in the meantime, they lost everything they had. There's the stories of the major health events where we had actually gotten a letter once. Someone had, they needed a brain surgery procedure. and their money was gone. Difficult. These stories are difficult. It's hard. It has created lots and lots of hardships. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. So every investment has risk. We mentioned that. And I would like to just share some like best practices. So there are these best practices when you think about investing your finances. One of those is like don't put all your eggs in one basket. You've probably heard that. That's been this a timeless bit of advice. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's the encouragement to diversify and manage the risk in various aspects. And that's more than just our investments. There's in Ecclesiastes, it would say, and I have several different translations here. I think this was the King James or the New King James. So give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. That's Ecclesiastes 11:2. The NIV would say, invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Or divide your merchandise among seven or even eight investments, for you do not know what calamity may happen on the earth. And that was the New English translation. So this don't put all your eggs in one basket has been timeless advice. And we encourage you to consider that. Because if the investment that you invested in becomes an investment puddle because it collapsed and it fell apart for whatever reason, you'll be thankful that you had diversified how you've invested your money. There's another test that we recommend, and it's called the sheep test. And this is a quote that's in The Village That Burned $3 Million. Says that if you would feel sheepish discussing the investment with your fellow church members, then you probably should avoid it. Do the sheep test. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. So this question of, like, could it happen to me? Like could this happen to me? Some kind of a fraud, some kind of a scam. Like, is there a chance that I may be caught up in something like that? And I've heard people say that there's no way. Like, I wouldn't, there's just no way. And I think that's a quite a risky a statement to be making. Think about a time in your life when you're going about your daily duties, you're going about your work, and something unexpected happens. Maybe there's an appointment that you need to go to, and you're just a couple minutes late already, and you go out to the car, and the car doesn't start. So you're going about your thing, and all of a sudden, there's something happens that kind of throws you off course. Maybe you're baking cookies, and this is for a big event the next day, and the electricity goes off. Now what are we going to do? And it's, so think about that time in your life when there was some kind of a disruption that happened as you went about your duties. I'd like to share an example, and this is a story that happened to me. So years ago when I worked in our maintenance department at Paul B. Zimmerman, and I was working on a forklift, and I was welding, so I was in behind my helmet, and I'm welding, doing a repair, and all of a sudden it kind of dawned on me that I think there's a fire. There's more light going on here than what's supposed to. So I got out from behind my helmet, and sure enough, there was like grease or something on the machine that had started to burn. And so, my kind of reaction jumps into gear, and I went across the shop, and I got a fire extinguisher, and I came back, and thankfully I was able to extinguish the fire before it did serious damage. It was later that I realized that I walked right past another fire extinguisher. There was one that was much closer. But in my reactive and responsiveness. Like, I wasn't thinking it through. I went the whole way across the shop and got a fire extinguisher and came back. And that is a bit how it works when a scammer or some amazing opportunity comes within sight. It can kind of catch us, and we start responding. And the answer is that, yes, it really can happen to you. It absolutely can. There have been many stories of people who later they said, I can't believe that I fell for this. Like, now that I think back, it was the dumbest thing. Like, I know better. Like, I knew I shouldn't have done that, but I did. The answer is it can happen to all of us. It really can. If there's only one thing you remember from both of our presentations, it's that just stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Why don't we say that together? All right? Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Just remember that. You're caught up, just stop. It's okay, just stop. Disconnect, unplug, power down, get away, and rethink it. Talk to someone, ask advice. So again, Fraud Aware, we are here for the sake of bringing identification, education, and prevention, and we hope that you find this time here helpful.